Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Mem. We will begin Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach, the new perek on Daf Mem Amar Malv. Our Mishnah continues to discuss, as we have been learning, that a very important part of the procedures in Beis Din is the cross-examination of the Edim. And begins the Mishnah here, Beit Kenaisai, they would question the Edim, B'sheva Chakiris. There were Sheva Chakiris that were always asked, Beis Shvuah, in what year of the Yovel cycle was this event that took place? Beis Shana, what Shemitah cycle of the Yovel cycle? We know that the Yovel cycle is 7 times 749. So which of these 7 cycles of Shemitah did it take place? Beis Shana, in what year of the 7 years of the Shemitah cycle did this event take place? Beis Chodesh, what month of that year? B'kam B'chodesh, what day of the month? Beis Yom, what day of the week? Beis Shoh, what time? Beis Mokom, at what place? Of course, Tosfos Yontif points out, as we've learned previously, the two Edim were not questioned at the same time. Rather, each aid was questioned separately. Even though we're mentioning that we're asking them what date of the month did this event take place, they also had to ask what day of the week did this event take place. Because as we're going to be learning in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, there are situations where there may be a discrepancy in the date, and the discrepancy can be explained, but because there's an acceptable discrepancy, we also have to know exactly, therefore, that they're consistent in saying what day of the week it took place. For that, there's no exception of discrepancies. Says the Mefarshim in explaining the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that begins that they asked them Sheva Chakiris, 7 questions. And why is it necessary for the Mishnah to tell us that there were 7 questions? Of course, if we'll count the questions that are mentioned in the Mishnah, we'll see we have a count of 7 questions. Why was it necessary to ask these questions? Why was it necessary to say that there were 7 questions? And based on this number, there are many that suggest that it's necessary to ask the 7 questions under all circumstances. And this really changes the question. It has a very important element to this question. Because particularly in the world that we live in, where there are no Shemitah, there's no Chutz Laaretz, and there's certainly no Yovel even at Yisrael, must the question always be asked? And some want to suggest that there's a halacha that it has to be asked. So of course, ask the Mechus Chinuch, so what happens? Does that mean there's no din Torah in our world? And the Mechus Chinuch suggests that the reason we ask that the only time that these questions are absolutely essential will be by dinei nefashos or by dinei knosos. Both are the type of din Torah that we don't have nowadays. And that's why we could ask, that's why indeed the fact that these questions cannot be asked do not disqualify the Din Torah. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's satisfactory to ask just the question of Eze Yoim, what day of 3 questions are adequate. Beze Yoim, what day, Beze Shoh, what hour, Beze Mokum. And the Tosfos Rosh explains what is the basis of Rabbi Yossi's opinion. So as we're going to see in our shir, it's really based on psukim, how we know that there are 7 questions asked and what are the 7 questions. But the Tosfos Rosh suggests that under normal circumstances, the testimony that Edim offer happens quite soon after the event. So the necessity to ask all of these types of questions, he says, only comes up in a time and a place where the Din Torah is very much after the situation that they're saying Eidus about. But in a place and time where Dinei Torah made and said close to the event, asking these questions are enough. They continue asking, Makirim Atam Oisoi, did you know the victim? Fitzartem Boy, did you give Hasra? And when it comes to Avodah Zarah, do you know Esmi Avad? Which Avodah Zarah did this person that's being accused, Rahman Tzlan, of worshipping Avodah Zarah, worship? Bama Avad, exactly how did he do the Avodah Zarah? Rashi explains that the purpose of these questions is to determine if the victim was Jewish, because the halacha is very different if the victim is Jewish. The other Rishonim says, the Rambam seems to say that the main purpose of this question was on the murderer. Is the murderer a Jew? The Meiri points out that even in a situation where it's quite known that this person is Jewish, or most of the people that live in that city are Jewish, it's still inadequate. There has to be a clear determination that this victim and murderer were Jewish. Says the Mishnah, Kol Amarba Bedikas, whoever asks more questions, Hareza Meshubach. And the simple pshat is, we want to get to the bottom, and because we want to get to the bottom of it, the more questions it will help us to get to the truth. Maisu Badik ben Azai ben Zakai, and the Mishnah says that indeed there was once a story where Ben Zakai checked Buksei Te'enim. The Pasha Pshat in the Gemara in the Mishnah is that this murder, there was a case of murder, and it took place under a Te'enim tree, under a fig tree, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakai asked the Edim if they could describe how the dates were connected to the tree. To that detail with the question asked. Says the Mishnah, Bambei Chakiris L'Bedikas. What is the halachic difference between Chakiris and Bedikas? Says the Mishnah, Chakiris Echer Amen Yideya. If one of the Edim is unable to answer a question of the Chakiris, Eduson Betela, the Edis is invalidated. But if a question about Bedikas was asked, and one of them says, Echad Omer Yedeya, I'm not able to answer the question. Afilu Shnayim Omrim, even if both of the witnesses say that we are unable to answer the question, the Loch is Eidusin Kiyomis, the Eidus still stands. Echad Kiris V'Echad Ubiris, but, says the Mishnah, as we just learned, there are a fundamental difference between Chakiris and Bedikas, but still the Loch is by and sometimes not answering is not an issue, but if there's a situation, a machishim zezeh, that the two witnesses contradict each other, even if had they not answered the question, it wouldn't be disqualifying, but once they contradict each other, then the halacha is edusa betela, the testimony is invalidated. Of course, the question that the Paiskim discuss is, can we rely on Edim who don't testify in person? And the question that I saw divides itself into three types of questions. The first question is when the Edim are asked to testify by a microphone. So even though the halacha is that when one has to hear something, he's not Yoitza with a microphone. If I have to hear Kriyas HaTorah, so or hearing Kriyas Megillah, there are questions if you could be Yoitza with a microphone, because what a microphone does is you don't hear the direct sound of the person that's speaking. What it does is it changes the voice that comes out of your mouth into waves, and then it returns to sound like your voice. But here, that's not the point of Edus, and therefore when your edus, therefore, is different. We just have to hear what you're saying, and testifying, the Chazon Ish said, by microphone is acceptable. The next question, however, is, what about if somebody submits his edus through a tape or through a recording? There it seems that the Poskim are in agreement that would actually not be acceptable. And the reason that that's not acceptable because Eidus is not just the words that the Eidim are saying. What's required, however, is that the facial expression and how those words are expressed are a critical part to the Eidus. And since that's a critical part to the Eidus that's being said, if you don't have the Eidim personally there, the Paiskim seem to agree that that would not be a acceptable way of offering Eidus. The question that comes up now is saying Eidus over a Zoom. Because on one hand, we don't have the Eidim actually in the room of the Beis Din, but on the other hand, we're able to see and recognize what the Eidim are saying and how the Eidim were saying. And therefore, it may be, it's a question that the Paiskim discuss, it could be that Eidus offered by Zoom are acceptable Eidim. The Ragachover in his Sefer Tzofnas Peneach says that if the way the Eidus was submitted is that Eidim were there as this situation, what they're saying testimony to, happened, and they brought the culprit directly into Beis Din, then the halacha is the fact that they don't know him. One of the questions we learned in the Mishnah was Makir Noisam. Do you know this person who did what was claimed that was be done? So he wants to suggest that under those circumstances, the fact that they didn't know who did what, the fact that they're not aware of who did what of this person is not an issue. Makir Noisam is only in a case where it didn't just happen, he says, with the Eidim bringing in the culprit. If the Eidim are actually bringing in the culprit, then the halacha he wants to suggest would be that that testimony would be acceptable, even if they don't actually, even if they can't actually answer the question of Makirin Atem, do you know this individual? So continues Mishnah, Echram B'Shnayim B'Chodesh, that the event that we are saying testimony to happened the second day of the month. And the other one says it will happen on the third of the month. So we clearly have here an inconsistency. The halacha is Eidus and Kiyamis, where we accept the testimony. Why? Because as we've discussed many times in our shiurim, the Jewish month could have either 29 or 30 days. And therefore, the situation here is Zayu Debi Burshul Chaydush. This one knew that the previous month was 30 days. And this one did not know that the previous month was 30 days. And that's how they got off. So the Meiri says, well, if that's the basis of the mistake, so why don't we just see if that is indeed the basis of the mistake before assuming. So the Meiri says that since this is such a common mistake, there's no reason to ask the question. And the Tiferes Yisrael even adds another vart. Tiferes Yisrael says that even if we question the Eidim, and it turns out that there was no mistake about knowing when the Jewish month is, and therefore these Eidim knew exactly when Rosh Chodesh was, and therefore there is no legitimate way of explaining their inconsistency, says the Tiferes Yisrael, we're still going to accept this testimony. Why? He says, because what we need to be concerned is that the reason the aide is now saying that he didn't know or he did know is just because he got concerned that what's going to happen because of what he did. And therefore, he just said it in order to try to get off the hook. And therefore, the halacha is that the aide is accepted. However, Zema B'Shloisha, if this one says that it took place on the third day of the month, and the other one says, Ve'echer Oimer B'chamisha took place on the fifth day of the month, there is no way of explaining this inconsistency, and therefore Eidus B'Tayla, the Eidus is not accepted. Echer Oimer B'Shtei Shos, and one says it happened 2 hours in the day. Ve'echer Oimer B'Shol Shos, and the other one says it happened 3 hours into the day. Eidus and Kiyamis, we accept the Eidus. Again, because the Tana holds that this is an acceptable mistake. There is a very fundamental machlokes rishonim here, which doesn't only apply to this Gemara, but applies to numerous applications throughout halacha. When we speak about shas, when we speak about hours, do we speak about hours as we know, 60 minutes? And that means 2 hours in the day, that means 120 minutes, 3 hours is 180 minutes? Or do we count it as shas manis? Shas manis means that we know that in the winter, the days are shorter and the nights are longer. And in the summer, it's just the other way around. The days are longer and the nights are shorter. And the question that needs to be discussed here is, when we make this evaluation, do we follow shas zmanis or regular shas? There are really three opinions in the halacha. Some rishonim are of the opinion that we always follow shas zmanis, and therefore in the winter, an hour of the day is less than 60 minutes. And in the summer, an hour of the day is more than 60 minutes. There's some that hold that the way we count the day is we count regular hours like we count the hours. That's another way some suggest. A third opinion is that we take chatzos, and 6 hours before the chatzos are 6 hours before the chatzos is when the day begins, and 6 hours after chatzos is when the day ends. La locha lemaisa, what should we do? A difficult question. And most poskim try to follow l'chumra both ways. And for example, for Zman Krishma or for Zman Biur Chametz, we try to follow whichever is more of a stricter approach, following regular hours of Shas Manias. So again, says the Mishnah, Echad Amar B'Shtei Shas, one said that the event that we're testifying to happened 2 hours in the day, Echad Amar B'Shalosh Shas, and the other one says it happened 3 hours in the day, the halacha is Eidus and Kiyomis. That's a legitimate mistake, and it's not the qualification. However, v'echar ayim b'shalosh v'echar ayim b'chamesh, then edusim b'teila. That's too much of a discrepancy. Rabbi Yehuda says people make those kind of mistakes as well, and therefore he holds kayemis. Echar ayim, but everybody agrees. If one aide says that the event we're testifying happened 5 hours into the day, v'echar ayim b'sheva, and the other aide says it happened 7 hours into the day, there's no way of explaining this inconsistency, because chamesh cham b'mizrach, 5 hours in the day, the sun is still on the east side of the sky, and sheva cham is b'marv on the west side. So there's no way of explaining this mistake, and therefore this inconsistency disqualifies the aidus. Vakach, so this was what was done to the first aid. As we said, each one of the aidim are interrogated separately. Vakach Machnisen Hasheni, then we bring the second aide, Obaitkin Oisai, we begin interrogating him. Im Nimtzu Devreim Mechuvonim, if what they're saying is consistent, so as we've learned in the previously in Amasechta, the halacha is Paiskim Beschus. When it's a din in a fascist, we always begin by trying to come for acquittal. As the Pasuk says, we learned earlier in the Aflama Beis, the pasuk says, "Em loy shachav by soita, em loy shachav ish oischa, oischach from loy sotis tumetachas ishech." He noki b'may hamar mameilim. First, we try to say that he noki, that hopefully you're innocent. And what we want, I sort of Tiferes Yisrael explains, to create an environment, that the defendant should not be so concerned, because he's going to see that we're trying to come out with an acquittal. And in general, we want the Dayanim to see that that's the direction that we want to take. Continues the Mishnah. Am Echad Min Eidim. If one of the Eidim said, Yesh li l'am lov schus, I have a reason for acquittal. Oy Echad Min HaTalmidim, or as we have been describing in our Shurim, the entire setup of the Bezdin, and they had all the Talmidim sitting in front of the Bezdin, and one of those Talmidim say, Yesh li lamed alof chayva, that I have a reason for guilt. Meshatkin, I said, we don't listen. I'm Echemen Talmidim, Yesh li lamed alof schut. So if somebody says, for guilt, we don't accept. For innocence, Malon I say, we take that Talmud from where he was sitting amongst the other Talmidim. On Meshivan Isa B'Naim, we put him, sit together with the Bezdin. Once he was brought up, even if it turns out what he said was not really that great, but not to embarrass him, we leave him up there the entire day. But what he says is meaningful. We hear what he has to say, and we include him as a member of the Sanhedrin. Even if the defendant has to say by himself some reason that he should be innocent, we even listen to him. And of course, the Yad Ramah explains, this is not considered Negeya Be'edus. When we're listening to people as witnesses, so we are learning quite extensively that there are many halachas involved and who and when and where is a witness. But when here, we're in the middle of the deliberation. By deliberation, we want to hear everybody, what anybody has what to say. And if we find reason for acquittal, Petrua, we declare him innocent. But if we couldn't, we don't finish the entire for today. What we do is we pair off the dayonim to go home and try to think what is right and what is wrong. And these dayonim, when they were home during and thinking what to do, they held themselves back from eating. We didn't let them drink wine because we, of course, they didn't want to get intoxicated. And actually, Tosfos says that this is not only halacha, that dayanim should not drink wine when we're dealing, as we're discussing, dinei nefashos, but even by dinei mamonos, or even by issur v'heter, the clarity of the dayanim's mind is so critical that they may not drink wine. V'nosu v'nosu kol laila, and they deliberate all night long. L'machos, the next morning, mashkimim b'ayim lebezdan, they come to Bezdan. Hamazaka, the dayan who said yesterday that he felt that this defendant was innocent, amani mazaka, he continues to say that I think he is innocent, mazaka ani b'mekaymi, and I still keep to my opinion. V'mechayiv, and as we learned earlier in the Masechta, he, at this point, we're not up to the vote. And since we're not up to the vote, somebody who was arguing for one opinion, that opinion he has to stick with. Only by the vote will be allowed to change his mind. M'chayiv amani m'chayiv, I held the reason for being that he should be guilty, or m'chayiv ani b'mkayim, and I still feel that way. Hamalamet chayva, as we've been learning, the dayan who felt that he's guilty, malamet chus, can now, during the deliberation, change his mind and say that he's innocent. Aval ha-melamed tzchus, the one who was saying during the deliberations that he's innocent, ein yochel lachzor lamed chayvei, cannot not change his mind and say that he's guilty. Tar b'dover, if there's a mistake that the dayan doesn't remember if he what was his opinion yesterday, and as we just learned, that is a critical piece of information. Because if yesterday he said innocent, he has only a right to continue saying innocent. Only if in the previous day did he say guilty, does he have a right to continue saying guilty. Therefore, he doesn't remember what he did in the previous day. That's why we had Shnei Sofer Dayanim. We had the two court scribes, the Maskir Noisoi, that remind him what was his position yesterday. And again, that if it turns out that everybody agrees that he's innocent, Patrua, he goes home. Vimlav, if there's still the yonim that hold that he's guilty, we take a vote. If Shneimos Mazakin, Vecharos Mechayvim, if the vote is 12 against 11 to be innocent, so Zakai, he's innocent. However, if the vote is Shneimos Mechayvim, Vecharos Mazakin, a majority of one to convict, or if, even it's a tie, but filu, he just says, I don't know, or we have 22 in one opinion, but one of the dayonim says, I don't know. We have to add dayonim. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is a very important halacha, and that is that the dayan who says any yodeya, who abstains, is considered as if he doesn't exist. And since this bezdin has to have 23 dayanim, and now by one of the dayanim saying any yodeya, he's out of the count. So even if all 22 remaining dayanim feel the same way, it wouldn't make a difference. Mm-hmm. Because once we have one dayan who abstained, so we don't have a bezdin of 23. And the halacha requires that we have to have a bezdin of 23. Since the halacha at this point requires that we should have a bezdin of 23, the halacha is that the bezdin is, we have to add. So now ask the Mishnah, so kama mesifin, when we add, how many dayanim do we add? Says the Gemara, we keep on adding shnayim shnayim. So the Rishonim debate, what happens, the case that we just discussed, there's 23 members of the Beis Din, of the Sanhedrin Katana. One of them says, I don't know, so we have to replace him. But why do we have to replace two? Why would it not be enough just to add one dayan? And some Rishonim indeed suggest that when the Mishnah says that we add two, it doesn't mean we always have to add two. We have to see the circumstances. But there are Rishonim that suggest that the Mishnah says we always have to add two. So even though it should be enough under certain situations to add just one, we always have to add two. Till where do we keep on adding? Until we get up to 71. If we keep on having an impasse until we have 71 members, that's what we keep on doing. But what happens when we're up to 71? And we have a situation with Shloshim v'shlayishim mezakin, v'shloshim v'chemishim mechayven. If it's 36 for innocent, verse 35, easy, zakai. And then he's declared innocent. However, if we end up with a situation of shloshim v'shishim mechayven, 36 say he's guilty, v'shloshim v'chemishim mezakin, and 35 say he's innocent. So we can't make him innocent because the majority holds that he is guilty. We can't make him guilty because we said that you always have to have a majority of two to declare guilt. What do? We donim elu keneged elu. We keep on deliberating. Achir echem nechayv in devarim mezakin. We should now have a majority of people who hold his innocent. And Rishonim here to point out that that isn't necessarily always the outcome. The outcome may be that he will be guilty. But the point of the Mishnah is that we keep on going back and forth, and we want to go till we get an opportunity to be able to issue a psak. The Mishnah gives an example. The Mishnah gives an example where we'll have an innocent verdict, because what we're always looking for, but it could also sometimes end up with a guilty verdict. Ask the Gemara, we began that we always have to ask Zai, the seven Chakiris. Ask the Ramnan immediately, from where do we notice halacha? Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, the Amakra, the Pasuk, when it speaks about Eir Nidach, it's a city where most of the city worshipped the Vedazara. And the Pasuk says, Vedarashta v'chakarta v'sho'alta heitev. V'omer, then there's another Pasuk that speaks about somebody, an individual who worshipped the Vedazara. And there the Pasuk says, V'hu gadlcha v'shamat v'darashta heitev. V'omer, and the Pasuk says, by Edom Zomim, v'darsho ha'shoiftim heitev. So, there's three, if we look at the amount of times the Torah speaks about questions, altogether we have a total of seven. Ask the Gemara, who says the way to learn the psukim is that we should combine the number of all the psukim? Ema, maybe the way to learn the psukim is chada chada k'ksiva. Each pasuk is telling us how many questions should be asked at that case. So if the Torah speaks about Eir Nidachas with three questions, it means by Eir Nidachas we ask three questions. If the Torah speaks about two questions about Avodah Zarah, it means we ask two questions about Avodah Zarah. And if the Torah says about two questions about Edom Zomimim, it means Edom Zomimim. Dim Kain, because says the Gemara, if what the Torah was trying to accomplish is that they should all be combined, so then what the Torah should have done is lich davinu rachmana b'hadal. The Torah should have combined them. The fact that the Torah did not combine them seems to indicate that each subject should be treated separately. Answers the Gemara, Kivin the Kuba Adadi Kuzuvim, since they're all saying the same concept, says the Gemara, Mahadadi Mialfi, they could serve as a way to learn one from the other. And once we have that, the Kivin the Yalfi Mahadadi, once we can learn one from the other, that it's treated, Kamandik Sibachad Dami, as if they're all written together. But ask the Gemara, they're not all the same. There are different halachas by each one of them, and therefore the way the Rishonim explain the Gemara, maybe where we have a situation where the Torah tells us to be strict, we ask less questions. And maybe where the Torah tells us to be not that strict, we should ask more questions. Simon Palat Saif Hasra. The halacha of Ein Nidachas is different than the other two. Shekem Amon and Palat. There's a very special halacha by Enidachas that everything that the people of that city own should be destroyed. So since the Torah has that chumrah, we can't learn from there to other cases. Avodah Zarah l'hanachtati l'idamya, shekem b'sayif. The people of Enidachas are killed b'sayif. Whereas the people who, a person who worships Avodah Zarah has a much stricter punishment because he gets skila. And Odom Zomerman, to Rishonim explained, is also a case of Saif for two reasons. One, most cases, the Rishonim explained of Odom Zomerman, where they came to testify it was about a murder, and it could be a Saif case. So we have to assume it is a Saif case. Whenever somebody is, as we're going to be learning in Mitzvah Shem, is to be punished for an Aveira that he did b'mezid, there had to be Asra with many conditions attached to that Asra, which doesn't apply by Edom Zomerman. Hatev, Hatev, says the Gemara, there's a Gzeri Shava, Hatev, Hatev, which teaches us, Yalfinim Adadi, that we learned the halacha of one of these subjects from the other. Says the Gemara, Gzeri Shava Mufna, the words of this Gzeri Shava have to be superfluous. Because the Eloi, if not, Mufna Ikla Mefra. If the Eloi Mufna, it's not open Ikla Mefra. We know that there are two types of Gzeri Shavas. There's a Gzeri Shava where the words are just similar words. There's a Masorah to have such a Gzeri Shava, and it is taught. Such a Gzeri Shava will only stand if there's no refutation on the Gzeri Shava. But if there's a reason to question the Gzeri Shava, it falls. A Gzeri Shava that is mufna, if the words are superfluous, even if there's a question of the Gzeri Shava will stand. Says the Malai, Afnuya Mifna. The word hetev is superfluous. Medavalela Mechtav. The Torah could have said, Vidarshu, hate. The Torah didn't have to say Vidarshu Aita, or Vidarshu Ashaitim hetev. They could have just said, Vildarshu Vachakru. Vishani Krab Deburei. When the Torah wants to teach us that we have to question, the Torah used the word hetev. Why would the Torah use the word hate lefnuye? But says the Gemara, this is good, but akati mufna mitzad echad. The word hatef is only superfluous in one side. Bishlam achanach tarti, the case of Avedim Zayman and the case of Avedim Zara, where there the Torah doesn't use the word chakira, so the word hatef is a word that doesn't really make sense, should have been used. It's not the best word. So, Bishum the Havilei Lemichtev, the Torah should have said Vidarshu V'chekru, and the Torah instead using Hetiv is to teach us a Gzeri Shava. However, says the Gemara, El Ein Edachas May Havilei Lemichtev. By Ein Edachas it does say Vidarshu V'derashtu V'charkarta. But the Torah wants to add another word and adds the word Hetiv. So there's nothing that Haksiv Kula, Derashtu V'charkarta were mentioned. So Hetiv is not there and not interesting and not different, so can't be used as a Gzeri Shava. And says, and if there's a question, as we learned, there is a question of the Gzeri Shava, that will cause the Gzeri Shava to collapse. Answers the Gemara, no. Hasam nami afnui mifna. By Ein Nidachas, the word hetev is also not really the word that should have been used. Mid avil lemechtev, the Torah should have said darish darish, achaka tachkar, and rather, what did the Torah do? The shani krab deburei. And said hetev shma mina lefnuyim. So now we learned that all seven of the words combine. It says the Gemara that also nachnakim the aloch, but the virus that we spoke about is Avodah Zarah that comes with skila, and Eidim Zoymimim, as we explained earlier, and in the Dach that comes with Sayif. But there are other two types of Mises Bezdin, Chanika and Sayif. Chanika, which is less than Sayif and Skila, and we learned, and certainly less than Skila, the Gzeres Shavah tells us that if by Skila, which is obviously an Aveira which comes with Skila, is a very, very serious crime, we still do the Zayich Hakiris, certainly an Aveira that has Chanika, and therefore not such a serious crime, we have the Zayich Hakiris. And the way we're going to understand Sreifa, because we'll say if Skila require, if an Aveira with Skila gets these questioning, certainly an Aveira with Sreifa. But says the Gemara, HaNichil Rabbanon, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Sheman Daf Mem Tes, a very big machloikis, what is the most serious and what is the least serious Mises Bezdin. So HaNichil Rabbanon, according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, that skila is the most serious Mises Bezdin, and therefore the most serious Aveira. So we can learn Sreif from skila. However, Eller of Shimon, according to the opinion of Rav Shimon, Domer, Sreif Chamura, that Sreif is a more serious Aveira. So how can we learn the halacha of Sreif from the halacha of the other places? Maybe in the other places we want to get the person freed, and we ask all the questions. But that doesn't mean that that should be the halacha by Aveira Sreif. Elam Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah says by individual worships of Avodah Zarah, Vehine Emes Nochaim, and the Torah says by Eir Nidachas, also Vehine Emes Nochaim, that comes to teach us, so that adds four more questions. We already had seven. Emes Nochaim twice, 2 plus 2 equal 4 equal 11. Hachat Sari. What does that 11 come to teach us? Sheva Chakiris. Seven of the words that are used are here to teach us the halacha of the Zayin Chakiris. Dal Tlas, and then take three of the Gzeres Shavah. Pashla Chada. So we're left with one. We have Shimon to teach us the halacha of Nisrofim. And Rabbanan, the Gemara says a new point. Milsad Asi B'Kavachayim Tarach B'Kas L'Kra. Indeed, we could have learned it from the Gzeres Shavah. We could have learned it logically through Kavachayim. If by an aveir of skila, we ask all these questions, certainly so is the case by an aveira of sreifa. But the Gemara teaches us milsa daasi v'kavachaymer. Sometimes something that could be learned through a kavachaymer tarach v'kasal akra. And the reason the mefarshim explain it doesn't make sense. We have shloish esrei midas shatar dreshes behen. Many of us say the brayse of Yishmol every day that there are 13 ways that the Torah is taught. That we explained Psukim the Torah, one is a Kavachimra. So why would the Torah need to write it? So I saw that the B'nai Yisoskar explains. There's a very important lesson to be taught here. And the lesson to be taught here is that something that we achieve through our own logic, that's the definition of a Kavachimra, we can't rely on our own logic. The Torah says your logic may be good, but it's not the same. It's not infallible. Not like something that says in the Torah. Along the same line, the B'nai Yisoskar continues to explain. He's part of what the Gemara means to teach us is that the Torah wants to teach us that the way we should paskin a shaila, the way we should know what to do, is because the Torah says so. And not in any way, and not in any other way, should we achieve that this is what we should be supposed to do. Ask the Gemara, Megad Baravur, Emla Suyishmen Chakiris, instead of saying that the Pasuk, that there's an extra one to teach us, Mil Sadas Vikavachim Tarav Akas Lakra, maybe what the Torah means to teach us is that we're supposed to ask one more question. Ask the Gemara, so you have to find the question. Ushman Chakiris Meikah, what would be the eighth question? Alam Aloy. Says the Gemara, why not? Why can't one of the questions be? We spoke in the Mishnah about identifying what hour it happened. But what time in that hour? And indeed, there's a brisa that suggests that Baitkin I saw that they were checked. Aliv Rameya, says the Gemara, the question of when in the hour did it happen is a legitimate question according to Rameya, because Rameya and Amrish said that knowing exactly what happened, when it happened, is so critical. Because Rameya's opinion is that ain adam toiv lo klum, any mistake will not be accepted when it comes to the hour. How people can make a mistake, but only a very small time difference. Also, Shapur, can we understand why this is a legitimate question? That a person up to half an hour makes a mistake. People even make bigger mistakes than that. So what would be the eighth question? Asking when in the hour doesn't make a difference. And I saw that the Tumim makes a very interesting point. The Tumim's point says that this entire concept that we discuss about when we speak about Eidus, says the Tumim about the hour, that there's 60 minutes an hour. This entire concept of 60 minutes an hour is a man-made invention. So how could the Gemara suggest that that would be the question where the Torah doesn't necessarily even recognize that type of a discussion? So the Tumim points out that the question would be, did it happen right before Chatzos or right after Chatzos? So the Gemara, the question is, let Lusuya become a B'yoyvel. The question, when in the Yovel cycle did this happen? Ask the Gemara, Hena Be'ezer Shvuah. So that was one of the questions that we already identified in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Lusuya Be'ezer Yovel. We know that there was a history of Yovels, 50-year cycles. Which one of those Yovels? Ve'edach, Domen Be'ezer Shvuah, the other man, Domen, that didn't agree that that should be the eighth question, holds Be'ezer Shvuah, knowing where and what in the Yovel year, which Shemitah cycle of the seven cycles in the Yovel year is inadequate, and to start asking which Yovel in the history of Klal Yisrael is overdoing it. Rabbi Yossi Aymer, we learned in the Mishnah that three questions are enough. Tanya Amalam Rabbi Yitzchak Lachomim, Lidavreichem, according to the way you're saying that all of these questions have to be asked, Lidavreichem, Bishabov, Adam come to Bez of Amma Emesh Haragoy. This event took place yesterday. And we Omalai Be'ezer Shvu, Be'ezer Shah, Be'ezer Chodesh, Bekam B'Chodesh. He said it just happened yesterday. Omalai. So the Rabbanim, the Chamim respond to Rabbi Yossi. So Ludvarech, according to you, Mishabov, Amma Akshav Haragoy. And what happens if it happened? He comes and says it just happened now. And you're saying if they say it just happened, there's no purpose in asking all these questions. So why would we want to ask Be'ezer Yoyim, Be'ezer Shah, Be'ezer Mokum? Ella, what must we say? Afgav Deloit Tzorich, even though that doesn't really make sense to ask the question, Raminale, we ask the question, because that's what the Torah taught us. Could Rav Shimon ben Elazar, because Rav Shimon ben Elazar taught us in Daf Lama Beis, we want to get the truth. And asking the questions is a way to get to the truth. Hachinami, that's why the Chacham say to Rabbi Yossi, yes, you're making a good argument why all these questions should not have to be asked. But even though you're making a good argument why all these questions do not have to be asked, still, Ramin Olay, we ask these questions because Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Yossi, what is his opinion? He says, Emes Hargoy, according to Rabbi Yossi, that we don't ask questions that are not necessary. So why, if it happened yesterday, is Rabbi Yossi arguing? It doesn't make sense to ask him questions about years, etc., when he's saying what I'm saying happened yesterday. And why are these questions that do make sense to ask? Says the Gemara, the question of Emes Hargoy, that Edom walk in and say that it happened yesterday, Shriach. It's very likely something happened and the next day Edom show up. That's Shriach B'Rov Edyos. But something should happen just this moment, Achshav Hargoy, and right away the Edom come in, says the Gemara, that Lo Shriach B'Rov Edyos, that isn't likely, and therefore we have a rule throughout Shas, Milsa de Lo Shriacha, something which doesn't happen commonly, Le Gozer Barabonin, Chazal did not see a need to make a halacha for that case. And even though, says Rabbi Yossi, one can make an argument that there's no reason to ask a question. There's no reason to ask the question in a case of when they're saying that it just happened. But since that's uncommon, Chazal didn't address that type of a situation.